Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the cause of disease when we come back. You know, during World War II, our parents and grandparents planted victory gardens, and that helped to provide their own food and fiber for themselves and for their country. But today, more than half the food that we eat is imported from outside our borders, and our food is being produced from hybrid seed that will not reproduce, and it is nutritionally deficient. Now, Adolf Steinbaum of Fairbanks, Iowa, put the matter into perspective by having samples of corn tested for nutrients, which are usually added to commercial feeds. And when they were compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states, Steinbaum's open pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, 205% more manganese, and the same result was seen in the content of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc. And in the opinion of many ecologic farmers, hybrid seed merely masks poor farming practices by producing bins and bushels of foodless food without the nutrients that are really food's reason for being in the first place. Now, if you'd like to know more about this multinational corporate monopoly of our seed and food supplies and how you can become independent from them, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we're talking about Joel Wallach's book, Chapter 7, What Causes Disease? It's the Cause of Disease. His book is called Rare Earths, in case you're looking for a copy of it. Rare Earths, pretty big, thick book, 8.5 by 11. And how many pages are in here? Oh, my God. I don't know if I can count that high. 445. There's more than that. I'm still looking for the end of the book here. 445, 487, about 500 pages. About 500 pages of material that deals with rare earths. There are 91 of these rare earths or nutrients that your body needs. And if it doesn't have one of those 91, if you don't have every single one, you will develop a symptom, like the symptom for vitamin C deficiency, scurvy, the symptom for night blindness, vitamin A, the symptom for rickets, vitamin D. Now, we develop things like muscular dystrophy, cystic fibrosis, Hansen's disease, cancer, heart attack, strokes, you know, and on the list goes. And we're all sitting over and saying, oh my God, what causes that? Okay, two causes, nutritional deficiency, starvation, or toxic reaction, poison. It's just that simple. Don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar here to figure that out. No rocket science involved. 19 health laws in the Bible. The creator of the universe designed your body to live for 70 years. 70. It usually does a little better than that. The average lifespan here in the United States, 75.5. And 80 if you're strong. A lot of people live to be 80, 90 years old. In Japan, they're living to be 80, pretty routinely. In fact, I think Japan has the longest longevity or the highest longevity in the world. I think it's around 80 years, 80 or 81. And as a result of that, a lot of people get sick, and they want to know, well, why am I getting sick? And even though we have pretty long lives here in the United States, the average medical doctor dies at age 58. I mentioned that to you last time. Joel Wallach also has a tape on that. You just got to get it. I'm telling you. It'll make you laugh. It's like Foxworthy, you know, Jeff Foxworthy. It'll just make you laugh and scratch all over. Dead doctors don't lie. That's the name of the tape. Dead doctors don't lie. They die at age 58. You and I die at age 75.5. But we get sick a lot. And, of course, the question arises, well, why do we get sick? And the answer is because you're missing one or more of those 91 nutritional elements. And the doctor has what's called a physician's desk reference, and he wants to have a label to hang on it. And so he says, well, you've got muscular dystrophy. You've got cancer. You've got heart disease. See? And these are generally, not necessarily all of them, but most of them are copyrighted. Copyright. The American Medical Association copyrights these diseases like cancer. They own it, like Coca-Cola. Pepsi-Cola, Wendy's, Big Mac. See, these are copyrighted trade names. Those are commercial names. They're owned by somebody, and they get the royalties that come from them. You know, like cancer is very, very valuable. Cancer, the trade name cancer, is worth $500 billion. That's a half a trillion. That's as much money as we spend on education in the United States total. Every kid going to school in America and every teacher drawing a paycheck and every college, university, or high school working in the country generates $500 billion a year. That's how big cancer is all by itself. Big, big business. It's as big as the entire defense industry of the nation, which is the biggest defense industry in the world. Our defense industry is equal to all of the defense industries of all the nations in the world. Just ours by itself, $500 billion a year. That's how big cancer is. Cancer, big business. That's why we can't have a cure to cancer. If we had a cure to cancer, we have instant depression. The economy would collapse. That's how big a portion of the economy it is. You can't have a cure to cancer. Sorry. You can march on cancer. You can pray for cancer. You can light candles for cancer. You can donate to cancer, but you can't have a cure because it would collapse the economy. So we're not going to have a cure to cancer. Guaranteed. There's no two ways about it. Now, if you want to cure your cancer or if you want to prevent cancer, I think that's a better solution. Don't get cancer in the first place. You can do that all day long. You can do that right there in the privacy of your own home in a plain brown envelope. Nobody has to know anything about it one way or the other. And it'll cost you about $40 a month, $40 a month, maybe a little bit more with inflation now. Let me get on my calculator over here. This is a 1994 book. It was $40 a month in 1994. You got to add about half again to that. So I'm going to say $60 a month now. $60 a month times 60 a month times 12 months, $720 a year per person. Let's divide that by 365. About $2 a day. $2 a day. What's going to cost you? It'll cost you less than a pack of cigarettes a day to have perfect health for the rest of your life. Perfect health for the rest of your life. Now, Joel Wallach sells a vitamin mineral supplement package. You can buy them from other people. I mean, you don't have to buy it from Joel Wallach. I just suggest that you get his book, 500-page book called Rare Earths. Guy's name is spelled W-A-L-L-A-C-H, J-O-E-L, Joel D. Wallach. Wrote the book in 1994 called Rare Earths, Forbidden Cures. God help you if you run around curing people now. You'll get locked up in jail if you do that. They've got an address here. It's P.O. Box 1222, Bonita, California, 91908. P.O. Box 1222, Bonita, California, B-O-N-I-T-A, 91908, published by the Double Happiness Publishing Company. Sounds like to me Wallach is publishing his own book. That's what it looks like to me. Double Happiness Publishing Company, P.O. Box 1222, Bonita, California, 91908. Be sure you ask for the tape. Dead doctors don't lie. And if you can't find the name and address anywhere else, do a Google search and see if you can find Joel Wallach. I'm sure he's got a website somewhere. Veterinarians have eliminated most birth defects in animal husbandry by employing two simple husbandry techniques. Here's the first one. First thing we do out here on the farm to prevent any deformities, we create biochemically complete animal rations in the form of pellets or a meatloaf so that every mouthful contains all of the essential nutrients every meal, every day, every time. There's no buffet-style eating where the animal could pick out its favorite part of the meal. This was a monumental task when you come to think of it because many animals have multiple births or litters, which magnifies the pregnancy's requirements for minerals and vitamins, and many-fold times because of the inter-embryonic competition for limited critical resources and very brief pregnancies. Before the problem of competition between embryos for limited nutrition supplies was solved, there might be as many as 3 to 5 runts. A runt. See, out here on the farm, we call it a runt. All right. You call it a low birth weight baby. We call them runts. Low birth weight babies in a litter of 8 and a similar rate of a variety of birth defects would occur. So there was a time when we used to have that. When animals have bad nutrition, you know, they'll turn out runty calves or sickly, poor quality calves. Sometimes there'll be defects, birth defects. So to get over that, we feed them a mineral block. And Wallach suggests that you go down to your local feed store. Very simple. Just go down to the feed store. I think it costs $5 for a 50-pound mineral block. $10 max. Spend $10 and get a mineral block. Bring it home and just put it on the dining room table. And then every time you walk by it, just take a lick. One lick. Just take a lick off the mineral block, and it'll solve all of your health problems for the rest of your life. See how simple that is? That's what we do for our livestock. We put it out in the field. Cow goes by, and she takes a lick. She's walking around. She takes a lick. Now, out here, I put my cows out where they can get into the woods so that they can get all the weeds, trees, leaves, all kinds of stuff. I mentioned to you last time, a cow, and on her teats, she has receptors that interact with the saliva from the calf. Whatever it is that the calf is lacking, the cow picks up on it, she runs out, she eats that plant, comes back in the next milking, that mineral, that nutrient will be in her milk. Now, you don't do that. See, what's happening is you're buying your milk in the grocery store, and it's a uniform product. Only clover, alfalfa, and grass is ever fed to that cow. She can't eat anything else. Because if she did, it would taint her milk. It would make her milk have a taste. See, my cows will go down here, and they'll eat dog weed, they call it. And then the milk tastes a little bitter. It's got dog weed flavor in it. And that's because when the dog weed is out there, it's got vitamins and minerals that the cow needs, so she'll eat it. And mentioned to this last time, you know, that's what bees do. They produce a different flavored honey from different flavored flowers. Cows produce different flavored milks, which come from different flavored flowers. The concept that this cow has milk that tastes like chocolate, if you fed that cow chocolate, it would come through in the milk. And that's just where reality is at. We don't feed our cows chocolate, but we feed them all kinds of other things. And when they eat onions, then the onion flavor comes through. Garlic, the garlic flavor comes through. Dogweed, the dogweed flavor comes through. You can't have that. And so all the dairymen pen their cows up. They put them on dry lots and they feed them alfalfa. That's all they get. So all you ever get is alfalfa-flavored milk. That's it. It's a uniform product from New York to California. And as a result of that, the cows do not get the minerals that they need, and then the milk doesn't have the minerals that it needs, and so therefore you don't get the minerals that you need. So if you think that milk is the perfect food, forget it, because the cows are penned up. Chickens are done the same way. See, there's omega fatty acids. The correct ratio is about 1:1, and it runs in this country as high as 20:40:1. So you're getting omega-6 at the rate of 40 parts to 1 omega-3, or 20:1, something like that. And then you develop cholesterol imbalance, and then you develop heart disease and one thing and another, and you wonder why. Can't figure it out. Just can't figure it out. Now, if you leave those chickens alone and let them go out and eat, and that's where my chickens are. They're just outside right now scratching around. They eat bugs and worms and plants, grass, seeds. And as a result of that, they have a better balance. I think it's about 6:3, about 2:1. And because of that, the people that eat my eggs don't develop a cardiovascular problem. This is why we promote organic, natural foods. There's an organic and there's a natural way to raise animals and food. And we haven't been doing that for a long time, and so we have nutritionally deficient products. All right, there's a second way that we do this. The second thing is the health provider, the veterinarian in this case, was made responsible for preventable losses, such as birth defects and other financially devastating outcomes of pregnancy, and they were taken off of a fee-for-service system. Veterinarians were placed on salaries and contract herd health ranching programs, which made them responsible for herd health and production at a set fee. In effect, they had HMOs. Thus, as a veterinarian, you only get a contract next year if the rancher makes money this year. The herd health system forced the veterinarian to seek out and put into effect economical and effective nutritional programs that would prevent catastrophic economic outcomes of pregnancy, such as muscular dystrophy. By the way, did you know muscle is meat? Muscle is meat. So if you have muscular dystrophy, then you have a problem with the red meat in the animal. For every 100 cows the farmer and rancher feeds, they demand 100 pregnancies without complication. They demand 100 healthy calves delivered without the need for a cesarean. And they demand that each of those 100 calves reaches market weight or reproductive age without health complications, and they get it. Now, should our women and children get any less health care than a cow? The answer is yes. They should, and they do. They should because it's necessary for our economy. You see, our economy runs around $14 trillion a year, and now it's pushing two. That's about 1/7 of that. Not quite a seventh, but close to 1/7 of our economy is based upon medicine. And we need sick people as the fuel or the fodder to fuel the healthcare industry. I mean, let's be intelligent people here. Let's suppose we had 300 million healthy people in the United States. These 300 million healthy people live their lives and they die of old age and they never get sick. There's no cancer, no heart attacks. There's no cancer industry. There's no march on cancer. There's no Jerry's kids. There's no muscular dystrophy or cystic fibrosis. There's no Parkinson's disease. What kind of a world would you have? Well, coming right out of the chute, all of the millions of people that are engaged in hospitals and healthcare practitioners and all the people that make wheelchairs and all of the hospitals that are being built and are being maintained and nurses and nurses' aides and all that, they'd all be unemployed. It would cause such a massive shift in our economy that it would collapse and have to be rebuilt again. Nobody wants that. So all of you sick people out there, God love you. We need you. You are a vital part of the American economy. And that's why you're not going to ever get a cure to cancer. Now, we can have a cure to cancer in cows. So we don't have cancer in cows. It does occur, and it can occur. I've got a steer out here that's got a great big lump on his neck right now. He was born with a lump on his neck about the size of a cherry. And today it's about the size of, it's bigger than a softball. It's not as big as a basketball, but it's bigger than a softball. I don't know quite. So it's probably about the size of two or three softballs on his neck. And it's black. I just looked at it the other day. I'm just leaving him out there. I've never seen a cow come up like that. He's got some kind of a deficiency. I suspect that it's cancer. He's out there eating all the same foods that all the rest of the cows are eating. He's an anomaly. None of the rest of them have it. I'll probably kill him and feed him to the dogs. I wouldn't eat him. I wouldn't feed him to you. But listen, if I took him over to the sale barn, they would run him through. They would cut that cancer off of him and run him through, and they'd turn out hamburger and send it to McDonald's in a heartbeat. I wouldn't do that. And I wouldn't eat that animal. I'd feed him to my dogs. I think they can probably handle him. But now, that happens once in a while. It's just very, very rare. And it's kind of like having a kid, you know, that turns out sick or sickly or comes out with Down syndrome. It happens once in a while. It happens in this country a whole lot more often than it ought to. If you just fed the women of America more zinc, it would solve the problem. But you see, the foods that contain zinc probably don't taste as good as Hershey bars and York peppermint patties and Pepsi-Cola. And so the women of America prefer Pepsi-Cola to such things as Brussels sprouts and broccoli. And I don't blame them. I mean, I got to tell you, Pepsi-Cola tastes a lot better than Brussels sprouts and broccoli. But you're going to go a long ways before you find any zinc in that Pepsi-Cola, ladies. So you got to make a choice. You know, it's either you eat the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts and give up the Pepsi, at least while you're pregnant or getting pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, so that you can prevent Down syndrome and a number of other nutritional diseases. I mean, there's not the only one, but that's one of them. And what 14-year-old girl who's thinking about having a date with her boyfriend and getting laid, you know, in the back of your Chevy van, is thinking about nutrition and pregnancy? Hell, she's not thinking about that. She's thinking about a Big Mac and fries and a strawberry milkshake and getting laid tonight. But when that happens, you know, occasionally they get knocked up, and then, you know, you got this pregnancy, and then whoop, whoop, then pretty soon you got this 15, 16-year-old teenage girl going through puberty, and she doesn't have anywhere near enough nutrients in her own body to take care of her own body, much less this fetus, and so she ends up with some kid that's got a birth defect. Huh? How do you like that? Now, how many different kinds of birth defects do we have? The answer is 17. Here's what they are. Cleft lip and or cleft palate. We used to call them hair lips, and that's caused by nutritional deficiency. If a pregnant mother ate the right foods, there would be no cleft lips, no cleft palates. Club foot, that's where your feet are turned around backwards. More than five fingers. Polydactyly. You know, you got six fingers. There's a guy mentioned in the Bible, had six fingers on each hand. He was nutritionally deficient during pregnancy. That's what caused that. Congenital heart disease, spina bifida, deformity of the external genitalia. I can't pronounce it or spell it. I guess I could spell it for you, but it wouldn't make any difference. You couldn't reproduce it either. The abnormal union of fingers, mongolism, bone and joint deformities, hydrocephalus, excessive fluid around the brain. Naval hernia and protrusion of bowels, head and trunk deformities, imperforate anus, ear deformities, tracheocephalgal deformities, tracheoesophageal deformities, whatever the hell that is, atresia of intestines, that's a bowel obstruction, and skin, birthmarks. Did you know that birthmarks, do you know that Gorbachev, Mikhail Gorbachev, you know he has that big birthmark on his forehead and on his head? Okay. Caused by nutritional deficiencies while he was being carried by his mother in the womb. In case you are wondering what causes that, now you know. Now, there are literally dozens of human genetic diseases that can be prevented and in the early stages reversed or cured with minerals. Three very good examples of genetic diseases that can be prevented are cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and Kawasaki disease. Okay, got those three down? Pretty important for you. Especially if you've got one of these diseases right now. Well, you might have. And if you do, well, pay attention here. Now, cystic fibrosis, also known as CF, is an important, potentially fatal disease of animals and humans, which was originally thought to be transmitted by a simple Mendelian genetic defect limited to white populations of Central European origin. Today, CF has been diagnosed in virtually all people of the earth, including blacks, Asians, and American Indians. In the 1980s, a concerted effort to identify the CF gene has led to three claims of the gene's discovery. After close scrutiny, the earlier two claims have been discounted by the general scientific community because the studies were based on linked DNA markers whose exact relations to CF was not certain. The third claim, in September of 1989, published in Science magazine, is of particular interest because the authors estimate only 46% accuracy in identifying CF in patients from families without a previous history of CF, and a 68% accuracy in identifying CF patients in families with a previous history of cystic fibrosis. The authors go on to state, it is probable that this condition that we call cystic fibrosis is also determined by other genetic or non-genetic factors, and that the basic biochemical defect of cystic fibrosis has yet to be defined. Cystic fibrosis is the crime of the century, second only to diabetes, and that is only because diabetes affects millions and cystic fibrosis only affects a few thousand people each year, in that it is preventable. Just like diabetes is preventable, cystic fibrosis is 100% preventable and 100% curable in the early stages, and it can be far better managed in chronic cases than it is currently being managed by orthodox medicine. Now, classically, the diagnosis of cystic fibrosis is made by employing any two of four recognized criteria. But most clinicians are reluctant to make a diagnosis of CF without a positive sweat test. The sweat test has been elevated by medical dogma to the diagnostic test for CF, yet there are no less than 17 known diseases and syndromes that also give a positive sweat test, leading at least one group of investigators from the Cleveland Rainbow Children's Hospital to refer to CF as a syndrome. Syndrome means a collection of diseases rather than a single disease. Initially, the CF was first described in 1933, and it was originally thought to be the result of a vitaminosis, a vitamin A deficiency, because of specific vitamin A deficiency changes found in subgroups of young patients diagnosed clinically with celiac disease. In 1938, the term cystic fibrosis was coined because of a cellular atrophy in the pancreas that reminded the pathologists of cysts when viewed under the microscope. In 1952, the fact that congenital CF occurred in a significant number of CF patients was established. The genetic theory of CF transmission was suggested by the congenital nature of cystic fibrosis as described in two previously published papers. The first publication that appeared in 1913 was a case report of two children from a family of five who were born to a couple who were first cousins. One child died at the age of 11 months from dehydration and diarrhea. No autopsy was performed. The second child was an 8-year-old child who had diarrhea at the time of the article's appearance. The author theorized that the clinical problem was an inborn error of fat metabolism and probably the result of a simple Mendelian gene defect. This, from the HIP theory, was enough to make allopathic doctors believe that cystic fibrosis was genetic in its cause. The second paper of interest to the proponents of the genetic theory of cystic fibrosis transmission was an epidemiological study of 232 Australian families in which 24% were diagnosed with CF. Six sets of twins, three identical and three fraternal, failed to shed clear light on the proposed genetic transmission. So it was well established by 1975 that the rate and the severity of the pancreatic, liver, heart, lung, and intestinal changes in cystic fibrosis, as well as the appearance of the positive sweat test, were age and time-related. In 1978, the first universally accepted diagnosis of non-human CF was made by Joel Wallach from the pancreas and liver of an infant rhesus monkey. The original CF monkey and two unrelated age peers diagnosed with pancreatic and liver biopsy were created iatrogenically, by accident, by a selenium-deficient diet fed to a normal breeding group of monkeys at the Yerkes Regional Primate Research Center destined for the NASA space program. Ah, the secret is out. Did you catch that? It was an accident that they discovered a selenium-deficient diet produced cystic fibrosis in a rhesus monkey. Selenium, S-E-L-E-N-I-U-M, deficiency is the cause of cystic fibrosis. Hey, that isn't even rocket science, is it? Hey, we're at the halfway point here. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend to books, papers, periodicals, newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the cause of disease. Disease has two causes, nutrition and poison. Napoleon was being systematically poisoned by his captors, the English, while he was kept prisoner on an island over a period of years with arsenic. He finally died of arsenic poisoning. He was buried. Nobody knew why he died. Years later, in fact, it was just done in the last 20 years, somebody got curious and they went over and dug him up and did some forensic studies on him and found out the guy had been poisoned by arsenic. Who poisoned him? Well, we don't know who did it, but we know what killed him. He was sick, and he was sick for a long time. He had a toxic condition, made him feel real bad. He had a disease. Nobody knew quite what it was, didn't have a label to hang on it. Today, we hang labels. We hang labels. We say, you've got cancer. And then we go out and effectively market that disease. Cancer is one of the most aggressively marketed diseases that we know of. Every night on the 6 o'clock news, there's a story on cancer, some kind of cancer research, a march on cancer, donate to cancer this, cancer that. This guy died of cancer. This guy's got cancer. It's a product that's being sold. It's being marketed. It's being hyped. And if somebody calls me on the phone, they say, Mr. Gordon, I've got cancer. Can you help me? I tell them, no. My God, no. And there's a long pregnant pause, just like right now. Can you feel that long pregnant pause? Feel it? Okay. That's because cancer is a copyrighted trade name of the American Medical Association. They own that name cancer like a Coca-Cola bottling company owns the name Coca-Cola. You might as well call me and say, Mr. Gordon, I'm thirsty. Could you send me the formula for Coca-Cola? No, no. No, Coca-Cola is a copyrighted trade name. I can't send you the formula for Coca-Cola, for crying out loud. Don't you know that's a crime? That's why people are prosecuted for practicing medicine without a license. You see, the state comes in to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And so they license a monopoly called the American Medical Association to treat cancer, just like the slaughterhouse cases, you know, back in the 1870s, when the state of Louisiana licensed the Crescent Meatpacking Company in New Orleans, you know, to do all the butchering down there. They created a monopoly. And is it right and is it good? I don't know. Hell, I'm not here to pass judgment on the legislature, for crying out loud. I'm just here as a reporter to tell you the way it works. I didn't make it that way. I'm just here to tell you that's the way the game's played. So the government, for whatever reason, decided that a medical monopoly called the American Medical Association was good for the people of America, and they have the trade name cancer. Now, if you called me and asked me, Mr. Gordon, I have the botch of Egypt. Can you do something for me? Yeah, I could do a lot for you. Yeah, a guy called me the other day and says, can you tell me what the ingredients are in the black salve botch of Egypt formula? And I said, yeah, certainly can. Another guy called me and says, can you tell me what that black salve cancer formula is? And I said, God, no, don't even ask. It's a crime. Cancer belongs to a trade organization. Cancer is owned. It's a marketable product. It's a trade name. It's like Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Wendy's, McDonald's. And it has a lot of value. And it is guarded and covetously guarded. So tuck it away in your heart. And so anybody that's out here practicing medicine without a license is going to get prosecuted and probably convicted and put in jail, you know, for it isn't curing people of cancer that the government's mad about. It's infringing on that copyrighted trade name. It's the invasion of somebody else's property right. That's what we're concerned about. So tuck it away in your heart. So if you're diagnosed with cancer, you're being diagnosed as having something that is copyrighted and owned by a trade organization. And you can only be treated for that by that trade organization. Okay. Now talking about cystic fibrosis and the transmission of it, the second paper of interest to the proponents of the paper of interest was done by Joel Wallach when they discovered that rhesus monkeys could also develop cystic fibrosis. It was by an accident in a group of monkeys that were being given a diet that was deficient in selenium. The diagnosis in the rhesus monkeys was confirmed by pediatric pathologists considered to be experts on cystic fibrosis. Grady Memorial Hospital, Emory University, Department of Pathology of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and so on. There was great excitement by everyone, including representatives of the CF Foundation, until they learned that the CF in the monkeys could be reproduced with a selenium-deficient diet. We could do this thing over and over again in the laboratory. Boys and girls, that's as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party. Nobody wants to hear that kind of crap. Cystic fibrosis is a copyrighted trade name that's out in the marketplace, and somebody comes along and says, hell, I can duplicate that in the laboratory. We don't want that out there in the general public. How the hell can we sell that? Come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Can we, kids? When the proposal was put forth that the pathognomonic. It's translated as unique identifying changes. Pancreatic lesions of CF as well as the liver and heart changes of CF were in fact the results of a prenatal selenium deficiency. Everyone came unglued. CF was a genetic disease and that was that. To this moment in time, by God, you go into a hospital and you tell them that cystic fibrosis is caused by a selenium deficiency and they'll throw you out. Cystic fibrosis, the official jargon tells you, is a genetic defect, period. That's what we're selling. That's what's in the marketplace. The original proposal that cystic fibrosis could be caused by a prenatal selenium deficiency was based on a computer literature search of veterinary journals for tissue changes of pure selenium deficiency in a variety of laboratory species and personal observations of the pancreas, liver, heart, etc. of the selenium deficient monkeys. In 1958, important nutrition papers were published presenting the rat and mouse as models for the essentiality of selenium in nutrition. In 1972, the chick model for selenium deficiency was introduced. In the case of the chicks, congenital selenium deficiency produced the most creas. When these CF chicks were given selenium in the first 30 days after hatching, the cystic fibrosis disease was totally reversible. All right. So now, for those of you out there that may have been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, you have a selenium deficiency. When you're diagnosed now with scurvy, they'll give you vitamin C. You got rickets, they'll give you vitamin D. You got night blindness, they'll give you vitamin A. You got cystic fibrosis, they will not give you selenium. They'll give you the standard medical procedure, whatever that may be, whatever the protocol calls for. That's the official protocol of the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture, the Congress of the United States, American Medical Association, the Center for Disease Control, and so on down the line. There's a protocol for that. Now, if you want to cure your cystic fibrosis and you want to go with the standard medical orthodoxy, well, get after it. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here as a reporter to tell you that cystic fibrosis is caused by selenium deficiency. That's all. That's the report. We have selenium deficiency in the laboratory, which is duplicatable. If you want to create cystic fibrosis, you simply take the animals, put them on a selenium-free diet, and they will develop cystic fibrosis. If you want to duplicate scurvy, just take away vitamin C, and you can produce scurvy. You want to produce rickets, take away vitamin D, you can produce rickets. Now, if you want to come up with some kind of protocol to treat scurvy and rickets and night blindness with something other than vitamin C, A, and D, I guess you can do that. What kind of a result will you get? Probably the same kind of result that's been achieved with cystic fibrosis. It's another incurable disease. We don't know what causes it. We can't cure it, but we can treat it. So just keep coming back and paying your money every month. Now listen, for $50 a month, you know, you can take care of that. Or 60, you know, whatever, but price of the supplements, $2 a day. $2 a day ought to do it. Now somebody's going to say, yeah, but there's six people in our family. Well, it's going to cost you $12 a day to keep your family healthy. If you don't want to do that, why don't you spend $1,000 a month on health insurance? The alternative to this seems to be health insurance. Let's just take $1,000 a month for health insurance and divide that by 30. That's $33.33 a day. So you can spend $33 a day on health insurance or $12 a day on multiple vitamins. Now, I'm not going to tell you what kind of vitamins to buy because there's a bunch of them out there on the market. Some, I guess, are better than others. You need a vitamin package or program that contains all 91. Here's what they are. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 3 fatty acids that we know of. 6 and 2 is 8 and 3 is 11. 6 and 2 is 8 and 1 is 91. That's 91 essential elements that we know of. There might be more, but there's at least 91. Now, wondrous results have been observed and reported in CF patients faithfully supplementing with the 90 essential nutrients, including colloidal selenium. That's selenium found in solution. A review of over 350 published autopsy reports of CF patients revealed 79 reports of a unique cardiomyopathy identical with the cardiomyopathy of Chinese children in Qishan province of the People's Republic of China. The cardiomyopathy in China was identified with and related to a selenium deficiency of the soil in Qishan province by the World Health Organization. Now, I mentioned last time, here in the United States, in the Midwest of the United States, our soils are deficient in iodine. And when you don't get iodine, you get goiter, commonly known as Adam's apple. When I was a kid, this Adam's apple syndrome was pretty common. I'll bet you could look at 10 or 15 people, and one of them would have this Adam's apple. And when he would talk, he would have this lump in his neck between his chin and his shirt. And it would flop up and down as he was talking. It was kind of funny, kind of humorous, you know. And I went to the mirror, and I looked, and I didn't have one. My granddad didn't have one. My grandma didn't have one. And my uncle Carol, he had one. My dad had one. And my cousin Carol Ann did not. My uncle Buster didn't. Aunt Bessie didn't. My uncle Otto did. So, you know, just looking around my family, you know, several of them had Adam's apple. That's what they called that, Adam's apple. And I asked my grandmother, how come Uncle Carol and Uncle Otto have Adam's apple, but granddad doesn't, and I don't, and you don't, and so on? And she said, well, years ago, we didn't know about iodine. And you have to have iodine. It's a trace element. And she explained that to me. And she said, now that's why we buy iodized salt. And she showed me the Morton salt container, 1 pound container. It says iodized. See that iodized? And she told me, says, always buy iodized salt. That was my instruction. I was probably 6 years old. That's when I learned, always buy iodized salt. All of my life I've bought iodized salt. I never developed Adam's apple. None of my children did. In fact, here in America, it is almost unheard of. Now, watch this. The World Health Organization goes over to Qishan province in China, and they find out that there's a selenium deficiency in the soil. Here's what they discovered. A review of 1,750 cases of Qishan disease, called KSD in China, revealed CF changes in 595, or 35%, for a genetic disease of white middle Europeans. CF sure jumps around, doesn't it? 35% of the people in that province had this cystic fibrosis. Large-scale, double-blind supplementation studies confirmed the original theory of a selenium deficiency caused for KSD. So from 1974 to 1977, preschool and school-age children were divided into two groups. Group 1 was made up of 36,603 children whose diets were supplemented with 1 milligram of sodium selenate orally 3 times per week. Group 2 was a control group of 9,430 children given a sugar tablet placebo. So at the end of a 3-year study, the rate of KSD in the selenium supplemented group dropped from 13 children per 1,000 to 1 child in 1,000. The rate of KSD in the control group remained at the constant 13 per 1,000, and it continued long term. And studies eventually involving over 500,000 participants confirmed that supplemental selenium was specific for the prevention of KSD. How do you like that? Now, here's another disease called muscular dystrophy. I'm going to put a mark here in the in the margin for muscular dystrophy. That's another disease caused by nutritional deficiency. Now, so far we found that mongolized or Down syndrome children, we have a zinc deficiency. When we have children that are joined, that is Siamese twins, we have a zinc deficiency. We have a folic acid deficiency along with the zinc. Now we take a look at cystic fibrosis, and we find out we have a selenium deficiency. Now, there's 450 of these symptoms or diseases that are listed in the physician's desk reference, and every one of them can be traced to some kind of a nutritional deficiency or a poison. Now, listen to this. You've probably heard of these artificial sweeteners. and there's a disease that comes from artificial sweeteners, you know, like NutraSweet. So people drink diet soda pops and so on, and they come up with, and I think if I remember right, there was 92 or 3 or 97 symptoms that come from aspartame poisoning, is what this is called, aspartame poisoning from these artificial sweeteners. Now, before aspartame came on the market, we didn't have this problem. Now that aspartame is on the market, it's held sub-silentio. Nobody talks about it. I've talked about it a time or two. That's an example of poisoning. Aspartame is a poison, and it creates 90-some-odd symptoms, including Parkinson's disease. You'll think you've got Parkinson's disease, and this guy Michael J. Fox, you know, he may have Parkinson's. I'm not saying that he doesn't. But a lot of people have thought they had Parkinson's disease and were diagnosed with Parkinson's, only to find out it's not Parkinson's disease at all, but rather it's a NutraSweet disease, aspartame poisoning. And as soon as they get off of aspartame for any period of time, and then clean their bodies out, I mean, you're going to have to, you know, chelate that poison out, they go back to normal again. They get a total cure. Now, a lot of times people write me nasty letters and they say, "You're some kind of a nut. You're crazy." Well, okay. Oh, I never came on the air and told you I was saying. I just came on the air to give you a report. And the report comes from this book, remember? This book is called Rare Earths, written by Joel Wallach. I just cited to you the study done by the World Health Organization in a double-blind study in Qishan Province where they showed that cystic fibrosis is caused by selenium deficiency. Got that? Now, if you want to think that it's caused by a shortage of some kind of drug that comes from Merck or Pfizer, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Get out there and buy more drugs. If you want to cure cystic fibrosis, you've got to have selenium. If you want to prevent it, you've got to have selenium. Remember, this is a Double Happiness Publishing Company, Post Office Box 1222, Bonita, California, 91908. Rarers, Joel Wallach. All right, I'm out of time. I've got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.